You know, some people enjoy composing their own music, chord by chord, and others are happiest when they come across that one perfect song. Work is not a lot different than that. Whether you prefer building your own workflow or using a pre-made template, with Monday.com, you and the team can work in a way that's comfortable for everyone. Tap the banner to go to Monday.com and build your own amazing workflow, or find an awesome template. No judgment.
Welcome, everyone, to Deep Night, a horror anthology produced by CBC in the summer of 2005. It was part of their Monday Playbill series, though it ran on Friday nights, and was supposed to run for 10 weeks, but ultimately only ran for 7. Enjoy Deep Night.
Man Radio contains intense situations and subject matter, derogatory language, and profanity. Your caution and discretion is strongly advised.
103.7 FM, J Radio, your life, your city, your station.
I don't know how you guys did it, but somehow, someone, somewhere has spliced into the system. I mean, some super hack or something. Very impressive. The Spaz Man's impressed, I've got to admit. Okay, I get it. The whole studio is in on it, right? Freddy off sick, Matt off with his new goober. That's good. That's very good. Very clever. Very good. So what was it? You got some actress to play my wife, and Nate, right, is from some theater group? Oh, there's the light. The light's flashing. We've got another caller. Maybe it's our little hacker dickhead. Okay, you're on.
Jeff, it's Paul.
Paul.
Paul. Your brother, Paul.
Some genius is at work here. My little brother, Paul. Listen, you're good. You sound just like him.
Jeff.
So what is it? You're from some improv comedy group? Got to hand it to you. The voice is great. You've got Paul down to a T. I mean,
I'm not an impersonator.
Man, that voice is so impressive. I got
cockroaches.
What?
You've got a phobia about cockroaches.
That right? Listen, pal, it doesn't take much to find out if someone...
The deck at the back of our house was rotten. The house at 353 Walden.
How would you know about that?
The mom was always getting on Dad's case that it was an accident waiting to happen, that someone would fall through, and one day a bunch of us...
Listen, buddy...
You know, chasing each other, and you just went down. The floor gave way. You just went down and just... shit under there, covered up for years, I guess, and there was a nest of cockroaches. Hundreds of cockroaches. You fell into them. It only took Dad a few minutes to pull you out, but that was enough. And that's why you can't stand cockroaches. Now do you believe that I'm your brother?
Looks like it's the real McCoy with us, folks. Little brother Paulie. The white slice of the family. The brother who stayed behind. Paul, what is it? Paul's Plumbing? No work started without a free appraisal?
Yeah, that's right, Jeff.
Paul, how's it hanging out? How's the missus and those lovely offspring of yours?
Oh, what do you care?
Good question, folks. What do I care?
Jeff, I'm calling about Dad.
You're calling about Dad.
It's bad. It's really bad.
Alzheimer's, folks. The old geezer's lost it. Are you moved to tears yet, kids?
He can't live on his own anymore.
And you want me to do what exactly?
I didn't want to call. I told Estelle that. Look, I've had a really... tough time this year. This business, there's a lot of overhead.
You want me to pay for Daddy's seniors' home?
Well, there's this care facility.
Sorry, can't do it.
Oh, Jesus! Look, I have been carrying the bag for years. I can't do it anymore. You've got the money.
So that's what this call's about.
Just do something for him. For once, for Christ's sake, we're not even asking you to go out of your way and come see him. But just take 5 minutes to write a check. Just pay for someone else to take care of him. That's all we're asking, just for once.
And I get back what? A warm, fuzzy feeling of compassion so I can repay everything he did for me?
Look, I know there's a lot of things...
You know jack shit! He was never home, and when he was, he didn't give me the time of day. All he was interested in was finding another dumb asshole to buy a policy. And when he was at home, he couldn't wait to get back on the road again. He hated Mom. He hated me. And hey, and I've got news for you, John boy. He hated you. He's dying now. So what? I'm just supposed to forget all the crap? Forget how he was with me?
I'm sorry, Jeff. I really am. I just thought you'd want to come home. I thought you'd want to know.
Sorry, bro. Can't do it. Back after these messages.
Jeff!
Oh, Frank, do you have to work again this weekend?
Sorry, honey. You know the old man wants us all up to scratch on those new policies before Monday.
Well, I hope he appreciates it. But I miss you. We all miss you.
I know, honey, but I'll make it up to you. Honest.
Say, Pops, we going fishing tomorrow?
Afraid not, son. I gotta bring home the bacon.
Aw, but Pop, you promised.
You heard what I said. You heard what I said, you little bastard!
Dad!
Jeffrey! Jeffrey!
This. I'm locked in.
Depressed, anxious, overwhelmed by feelings of hopelessness. Perhaps it's time to talk to your doctor about Lethargo. Lethargo is not simply an antidepressant. It's a way to take back control of your life.
What? Okay, there must be something normal out there. Some weather report, traffic, anything. Hello out there!
Oh, shit, what was that? What the hell was that? I didn't see anything. I didn't... What do I do? I don't know. It just...
Jeff?
Who's this?
Do we have to play a guessing game?
Who?
Well, I'm not surprised.
Wait a minute. Your voice, I...
Oh, that's so romantic. You remember. But
I can't...
You can't place the face, right?
Look, it's...
Or the time? Well, how about the place? WXKS?
Laura...
Young, hot DJ. Young, cute girl working front desk.
That's 25 years ago. What is this?
What is this? This is your past coming back to haunt you.
Look, is this some rant about how I abandoned
yes,
you and...
Yes! Yes, it's a rant about how you abandoned me. Oh, we were so in love. You were so in love. Hey, that's okay, my sweet doll, my angel. That's okay. We'll keep the baby. Well, I can take care of us. We'll be okay. We're special. We're gonna be the perfect little family, sweetheart.
For Christ's sake, I was only 23.
And how old was I? With no one there and no one there to help me? And you never called. You never got in contact. You're sending my letters back, blocking my calls. You just went on with your life like nothing had happened. But that's okay. It worked out. The way you'd expect me at 17. They took the baby away. They took my baby away. It worked out.
For Christ's sake, Laura.
It's not easy coming to a crossroads. The choices we face in life can often leave us confused and anxious. Maybe that's the time to come home. Come home to the Church of the Saints of Mercy. You know in your heart, it makes sense.
Hi. Hi. Oh, no. Hello. Hi.
Who's this?
Who's this?
boy, jeez. Well, you won't remember me. You won't remember me, that's for sure, but, I remember you. Yeah, Jeffrey Kellerman, I remember you.
Who is this?
You see, you don't know. I knew you wouldn't.
You guys are good.
I think you'll find you can't cut me off there, Jeffrey.
Really
good. Sorry.
<good.
laughs> Yeah, that must be excruciating for you, because it's all about control with you, isn't it, Jeffrey? The idea that you don't know what's happening to you is just too much, isn't it? You can't take that, can you? It has to be you pulling the strings all the time.
Okay, I like
always
the Bela Lugosi act.
Manipulating the situation, even in grade six.
Grade six?
Yeah, with your little group of fans. Yeah, I guess you had to have that even back then. Be the center of everything. Do anything for the big laugh. Make fun of other kids.
Hey, listen,
Take everything to the extreme, tormenting them.
I don't know what you want, but...
You know what I want, Jeffrey?
What?
I want revenge. I'm going to get my own revenge on you. You'll see.
Jesus, what is this? What's happening? I know that voice.
The chickens are coming home to roost, Jeff. That's what's happening.
Rupert. Rupert Findlayson. Look, we were just little kids.
You knew what I was like, how shy I was. But pick, pick, pick. At school, in the dining room, the playground, following me home, you and your little buddies. And then that morning, my dog. What you did to my dog.
We were just kids, for Christ's sake.
Standing across the road from our yard, calling him. Breaking bits off the candy bar, tossing them across to him.
Christ.
Getting him to run. Just as the truck came. Why did you do that? Why did you do that?
Rupert? Rupert, listen. You don't know what it was like for me then. I wasn't the way you think. It wasn't. Rupert. Rupert. Rupert.
Hi, Melissa McDougall here with your weather and traffic. Well, my goodness, it certainly is a dark and stormy night, folks, isn't it? Brr. And trust me, it's only going to get worse. And looking at traffic, well, what can I say? Everything's backed up. Everywhere.
Nate! 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 There's no lights. There's no one there. There's nothing. Jesus. Oh, Jesus Christ. What's happening to me? I'm sorry. Oh, sweet Jesus, what have I done?
Please, help me. It hurts so much. Please.
It's okay. You'll be okay. Don't worry.
Mommy.
It's okay. Take it easy. Oh, Jesus. Oh, fuck, the blood. Oh, no. No.
Please, help. Please, help.
Jesus. Oh, fuck. The blood. Oh. It's okay. It's okay.
Help me. It hurts. It hurts. Stay with me. Please.
I'm sorry. Oh, sweet Jesus, what have I done?
That was the last recorded Jeff Spaz Kellerman hour. Jeff Kellerman, broadcaster, was found dead from a heart attack in his studio, October 3rd. He was 47 years old. We figured Spaz was extremely disoriented from his heart condition when he came in that night. I say this because, along with all our other broadcasters, Spaz was notified in advance that one of his old shows would be broadcast that night. There'd be no live shows because of systems upgrading. So there wasn't a technician book that night. But a couple of days ago, Freddie Gale received a disc in the mail. The one we just played. It was signed Best Wishes. Nate from Nowhere.
You've just heard Man Radio by Leslie Mildener. In the cast, you heard Tony Daniels as Spaz, sitcom dad, and a multitude of other voices. Peter Costigan was Nate and sitcom's son. Anand Rajaram played Raj. And Jim Jones was Mike. Kelly McIntosh played Karen and sitcom mom. And Jonathan Higgins played Paul. Herbie Barnes played Gary and Matt. Catherine Fitch was Marie and the church ad lady. Danielle Brett was Melissa and the woman. Emily Waite played the little girl. And David Cook was Rupert. For Man Radio, the recording engineer was Greg DeClute. Sound effects by Matt Wilcott. The script editor was David Carley, and casting was by Linda Grierson. The associate producer was Colleen Woods. Jade Radio's stings and bumpers were composed and performed by Tony Daniels and friends. Man Radio was produced and directed by Gregory J. Sinclair. Next, on Deep Night. On a frozen lake in the cold dead of a winter's night, the ice pops, rumbles, and crackles with monstrous life. Is it only the wind? Or does something lurk beneath, deep beneath, that would like nothing more than to invite us downward into the frozen depths for an eternal visit? Ice Screams by Drew Hayden Taylor. Next, in Deep Night.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
A new mix for summer
on CBC Radio 1.
Deep Night.
For 3 days, I've been sitting in this bar. In this back corner. Most of the people in the bar have been there the first night I come in. After it happened. And here I am, 3 days later. I don't care. I just order another drink. It has been 3 days since what happened, but the thought of that still scares the hell out of me. God knows how many bottles of rye later.
I love winter. Don't you? On a moonless night, everything is so calm, so still, so deceptively dead. But all it takes is a slight breeze to stir fresh snow into dancing, spinning sprites, for the trees to groan and crack. And on a lake in northern Ontario, all it takes is one particular set of footfalls on the icy surface to reveal a mystery thought forever immersed in the stone-cold depths below. It's no wonder 9-year-old Ryan is terrified of the water, refuses to go near it. Of course, in Ryan's case, there are a few more considerations than for the rest of us. But fortunately, we all grow out of our childhood fears of the mysteries contained in darkness. Don't we? Tonight, Drew Hayden Taylor spins us a winter's tale called Ice Screams. Beware of the thin ice.
Deep in the arms of love.
I guess you could say that everything that happened 3 days ago started on that February morning, 16 years ago. I was 12 at the time, so was Erica, Ryan's sister. She was cute, in a 12-year-old kind of way, as perceived by a 12-year-old.
You notice the bus always takes longer the colder it is?
They probably had to boost it again. Why? In a hurry to get to school?
No, just cold. Where's Ryan?
Right there.
Where's he going?
Where do you think? Toronto with my parents. All the winter sales are happening, and he gets to go with them. He gets to go shopping for 2 days. Oh, I hate it.
Now, Erica, I told Julia you'd be staying with her for the next 2 nights. You behave while we're away.
I still say it's not fair.
Enough of that. I don't want to have this argument again. We'll see you in 2 days.
Bye, Erica. Have fun at school.
He thinks he's so good. They like him better.
No, they don't.
Yeah, they do. My aunt says it's the way he was born. He was kind of difficult, I guess. He almost died. My mom spent weeks nursing him back to health, and ever since, she's been kind of protective.
Hey, Andrew. Got anything to eat? Oh, hi, Erica.
Hi, William. He always gets what he wants. He's the baby, she says. Well, if you baby someone all the time, then they'll be a baby all the time. The little scum.
Yeah, I hate kids like that. Who are we talking about?
Ryan.
Ryan and his parents disappeared into the falling snow. We never saw them get on the ice road. After that, things got a little strange. Early the next morning, local gossip and Tobacco Queen Mags Magnine was walking by Ryan's house. She saw a light on when there should be no light. And you can't be a gossip queen without having a healthy sense of curiosity.
Anybody home? Marie?
Maureen! Philip! Hello!
My heart. Ryan, what are you doing here? You just about scared me to death. Why is it so cold in here? Huh? Where's your parents? Ryan, what's wrong with you? Look at me. Is that ice in your hair?
Cold.
Ryan, listen to me. Where are your parents? My God! Your arms! They're freezing! What happened, Ryan? Tell me.
Cold.
Okay. You stay here, okay? I'm gonna go use the phone. I'll be right back.
Well, the back door is wide open.
And there's a trail of footprints
matching the boys' boots coming in from the general direction of the lake.
Why is it so cold in here?
The furnace is off.
How long has that boy been here alone? That looks like ice in his hair.
It is, sir. We believe he's been here at least 24 hours.
Has he said anything?
No, sir. Just cold. I think that's his sister arriving now.
Well, let her in. Maybe she can talk to him. And let's go see where those footprints lead.
Ryan, what happened to you? Where's Mom and Dad? Where are they? Tell me, Ryan, please. Tell me what happened. Cold. What do you mean, cold? Where's Mom? Where's Dad? Tell me where they are.
My God, it's colder than a Christian's heart out here.
Right there, sir. The car must have gotten lost in the falling snow. Went off the ice road and drove in this direction. Too close to the channel where the ice is thinner because of the current.
Thinner? Just how thin is this ice?
Oh, it's thick enough for us, but not for a 2,000-pound car. I think that's what went through the ice. The boys' tracks start just over there. And overnight, the ice froze over again.
Let's get back.
Yeah.
What a lucky little boy to have got through this.
Yeah, especially with Maureen for a mother.
How so?
Kind of figured there was no way she'd ever let him go.
Ryan, he was in bad shape. He wouldn't eat, wouldn't do nothing. They even brought in one of them, psychiatrists. But it was like talking to a disconnected telephone. Now my mother, who had a theory about practically everything, thought she knew how to reconnect that broken telephone.
Only dogs can talk to dogs, and only kids can talk to kids.
What the heck does that mean?
It means you and William are going to visit Ryan at the hospital today.
We're going to the movies this afternoon.
After you go to the hospital.
I don't want to go to the hospital. I'm pretty sure William doesn't.
The hospital is between here and the movies. No hospital, no movie.
I hate your mother. I don't want to come here. I want to go to the movies, and I would never have come.
Mom says we got him. She's driving.
I don't even like him. At least you like him.
Shut up. 413. There's his room. I guess we just go in, huh?
There he is. He looks weird. How's he supposed to look? Wow. He looks so skinny.
And cold. Ryan, how you doing? Ryan, it's Andrew and William.
Yeah, hi. Well, we tried. Let's go. Movie starts in half an hour. Come on.
Look at his face. I wonder what he's thinking about. What do you think, William?
I don't know. The Flintstones? Come on, let's go.
He looks cold.
Not anymore.
It was Ryan. If it were possible for two 12-year-olds to have heart attacks, that was the time.
In a hospital?
Yeah.
My parents are dead, aren't they? I'm hungry.
I got some gum. That's all I got.
Thanks. So, what's new?
Ryan, are you okay? How come you haven't talked in a week?
I don't know. I just kept on seeing Mom and Dad in the car, going through the ice. And pretty soon, I don't want to see that anymore. So I went to sleep.
But you were awake.
Didn't feel like it. Then I heard your voices, like in school. And I remember I have a test in math. Mom always liked me doing good in math.
That was 3 days ago.
I guess I failed, huh?
That's when his whole body started to shake. The sobs rolled out of him, gradually getting louder and louder till they filled the room. It looked almost painful. We'd seen crying before, but this wasn't ordinary. We bolted for the door, grabbed the first nurse we saw, and pointed her in Ryan's direction, then got the hell out of there. Needless to say, we didn't enjoy the movie much. We'd seen enough scary things for the day. The next day at school, Erica made a beeline for me on my way in.
Andrew, I heard you visited my brother yesterday.
Yeah, why didn't you drop by?
Thanks. He's talking now.
You're crying.
Yeah, but the doctors say that's good. What did you say to him?
Nothing, really. Just said hello and talked about how cold he was, but that's all.
Well, whatever you did, thank you. Now don't go telling everybody I kissed you on the cheek. That's just for you.
Yeah.
Could you do me another favor?
Yeah, what?
Come with me out on the lake. I want to put some flowers on the spot where they were. I was so mad at them when they left. I'll feel better if I say goodbye. Please come with me.
There was no way I was going out on that ice ever in my lifetime, let alone within 6 days of what happened. Not for any reason or any girl.
Sure, when?
Tomorrow, after school.
She kissed me again and was off.
Ryan's doing good. Doctors say he can come home in a few days. I saw him last night. He misses me and the family. But he won't talk about Mom and Pop. The doctors say not to force him.
Hmm. How much further?
The glare from the packed snow made me squint. The constant wind had packed the snow quite well. It was almost like walking on solid sand. Erica led the way, a good 2 feet in front of me. I couldn't help but think that if my family knew I was out here, I might as well go through the ice. Suddenly, Erica stopped. We had been walking about 20 minutes and came to a place where it was obvious a lot of people had been standing around. Cigarette butts littered the area, as well as the odd pee stain. The police had been here. And there, in the center of everything, was a refrozen, jagged blot in the lake. Somewhere beneath us, 100 feet or more, was a ford with 2 overweight Indians in it. And they would probably be there forever.
I guess this is it. Do you think the ice is safe?
Her foot gingerly tested the new ice, but by then it had frozen solid enough to support the weight of a 12-year-old girl. She walked to the center of the ice scar and kneeled. She put the roses down gently.
Goodbye, Mom. Pop. I'll remember you.
I think she was crying, but I couldn't see because of her coat hood. In the coldness of the lake, I was.
Thanks, Andrew. This meant a lot to me.
Even out on that frigid lake, I felt a little warmer.
I know you didn't want to come, but you did. I knew nobody else would come with me, or they'd try and talk me out of it. Thank you so much.
Wow, another kiss. Are you crying?
I know. I don't know why, but...
That's when I hugged her. I don't know why, but it just felt like she wanted to hold on to something. Out on that barren lake, I guess I was the only thing. After that, we quietly went home. Ryan came home a few days later, looking more somber than ever. They had managed to put some weight on him, but he still looked small. That was 16 years ago. The mundane existence of everyday reserve life began to reassert itself. There was even a big party for him on his 11th birthday. Their Aunt Julia has a cabin over on one of the islands, and they were going to spend the weekend out there. But once Ryan got in the boat, it became quite obvious that he had changed his mind. 6 feet from shore, he spoke up.
I changed my mind. I don't want to go.
We'll be across
the
lake in 20 minutes.
No, I don't want to stay here.
Ryan, it's all right.
No.
Now just sit down.
I don't want to go.
Ryan, no, don't, Ryan!
Luckily, the water was only about 4 feet deep. I'd never seen Ryan swim, canoe, fish, or do anything water-related. Until 3 days ago.
He'll get over it. Don't worry, it'll just take some time.
We hung out together until we were about 17. And then the time came for me to go off to college. I finally came home for good 4 years ago. I now work for the band office. Winter came around again, and I was back staying at my mother's when Erica called. Hey.
Oh, Andrew?
Erica? Aneen.
Hi, Andrew. I hate calling you like this out of the blue, but I need your help.
You sound serious. What's up?
Well, it's anniversary time.
Yeah, I thought it was around this time of year. I hear you still go out on the ice with them flowers of yours.
Not this year. I'm pregnant, Andrew, and, well, the doctor says I could deliver any time, so he and Richard won't allow me to go out on the ice this year.
I felt a chill I hadn't felt in a very long time. It was a cold feeling.
Why me? You've got more cousins and relatives than you know what to do with. I mean, I don't want to sound rude or anything, but why me?
Oh, because he trusts you. You're the one who brought Ryan out of whatever it was he was in, remember? Back in the hospital, and you went out with me that first time. Oh, please, Andrew, it has to be you. Promise me you'll do this.
I was silent for a moment. Those feelings from so long ago came rushing back to the pit of my stomach. Yeah. Okay. I'll go.
Oh, yes. Thank you so much, Andrew. You are one super guy. I so appreciate this.
I was committed, with little chance of any kisses this time. I had promised I would go, but I wouldn't go with Ryan alone. I immediately phoned up my buddy, my pal, William.
Are you insane? I don't even like the guy. It's your promise, you deal with it.
You know, William, 3 months ago, that hockey tournament in North Bay. Me, you, and those two women from Perry Island.
What about them?
Do you think maybe Angela would be interested in hearing about that?
You bastard, you wouldn't. I'll tell Marie.
Yeah, well, I wasn't going out with Marie at the time. Well, better put on your wool socks. It gets cold out there. I'll pick you up tomorrow. We arrived at Ryan's house, and it had changed little since what happened. Ryan was already sitting on the porch, a bouquet of half-frozen flowers on his lap. He looked like he didn't want to do this any more than we did. But in his heart, he knew he had to. It was necessary. Like going to the dentist.
Hey, Ryan. Ready to go? Hop in.
I got a better idea. Let's cut to the woods behind the house. Leave the trippers and driving around to the lake. Come on.
Jesus. Isn't that the same path he took way back when he crawled out of that car? This is getting eerie. You owe me big, Andrew.
Look, I'm turning the light.
It's over here. Follow me.
You owe me big.
After grabbing the flowers, Ryan started walking towards the woods beside the house.
I'm pushing!
You're falling behind. Speed up.
Do you want to walk in front, huh? Behind your buddy? He's gonna part the ice like an Inuit Moses.
Just walk faster. This was the first time he'd come this close to the lake, winter or summer, in all these years. He stopped walking just short of the ice. He looked out across the frozen expanse.
It's been so long. I wasn't sure if I'd remember where it was. Erica sort of gave me directions. A little off to the right of the willow, she said. It's that way, I guess.
Oh, Angela. Where are you? My arms are so warm and it's so cold out here.
February on our reserve can make you very romantic.
God's sakes, Ryan, slow down. My sweat is freezing. It's the hurry.
Sorry. Just lost in thought. It's all coming back to me. It's all so familiar. Except it's not snowing this time.
Give it time.
The shoreline was slowly drifting off behind us. And we were squinting now from the glare of the snow.
Do you have any idea where we're going?
You two didn't have to come with me, you know. I could have handled this myself.
Your sister asked me to come as a favor. You know I can never say no to Erica.
I almost wish you hadn't come, Andrew. You make it more real. I remember the two of you at the hospital. And the crying. It's like I'm 10 years old again. You know, I always told people I couldn't really remember what happened that day. When they died. Actually, I could remember. But I never wanted to talk about it. At the time, I thought it was nobody's business. Not even Erica. She wasn't there. She didn't see anything. Now I think maybe I should have.
We were approaching the channel. A couple of 100 feet to the left was the other shore. The ice would still be quite safe, but it was like looking over the edge of a tall building. You knew you were safe, but...
Sitting in the back of the car. The window was open. There was snow everywhere.
Honey, close that window. You'll catch yourself a death of a cold.
Mom, can I keep it down, please? I'm afraid of getting car sick.
If you start feeling sick, then you can open it. Until then, you should...
The car dislodged, and I was thrown at the floor. I felt wet. Very cold. I climbed in the back seat, and I saw the water pouring in my open window. I don't know if it was instinct or what, but I jumped through that window so fast.
Oh my God!
was small then, so the broken ice could hold me up. I crawled across the broken ice to the solid stuff. Oh, it was so cold. So damn cold. But it soon went away. I actually felt numb. And a weird sort of warmth after a while. All the time, I could hear Mom and Dad behind me. They were trying to open their doors, but because of the water pressure, doors wouldn't open.
You don't have to tell us this. Really, you don't.
I remember sitting on the ice, crying. The water was up to the windows. There were bubbles everywhere. Looked like it was boiling. Mom rolled down her window and tried to crawl through. She was kind of big. She couldn't fit through. I've never seen her try so hard at anything. Then she reached for me, like she wanted me to pull her out. Let me pull me in with her. I don't know. It was then that the car went under the water. There were some bubbles. Then her purse floated to the surface. Right about here, I think. I just sat there for the longest time. I was 9 years old. I didn't really know what was going on. I was scared. I was cold. After that, it gets kind of blurry.
I guess that's why you've never been out on the lake since.
I guess. We're still out here, you know. Somewhere below us. They never found the bodies.
Can we get on with this, please? I think I'm coming down with the cold.
Yeah, sorry. Let's get this over with.
Ryan walked ahead a bit. Then kneeled down and placed the flowers, quietly, on the ice. I remember him stroking the flowers, like he was afraid to leave them.
You know, since the accident, I've always been afraid of being out here. But Jesus, I'm 26 years old. You've got to stop being afraid at some point, right?
Yep.
Uh-huh.
In all this time, I've never been able to say goodbye to them properly. Goodbye, Dad. Goodbye, Mom. You know, I feel better.
It was at that moment that he went through the ice.
Gee,
it all happened so quickly.
Ryan.
There was a sharp cracking noise. Ryan looked down and then, like bread in a toaster, he slid straight down into the water. The ice buckling around the edge of the hole.
Get it, man. He's gone.
Ryan.
He's under the ice somewhere.
I instinctively raced for the hole where he'd been standing.
He's gone.
But William tackled me, wrestling me to the ground. I tried to crawl to the hole, but he wouldn't let me.
Give me your belt.
Come on.
Give me your belt.
Out of here.
Just give it to me.
Tell the police, man. I don't trust it here.
Just give me your belt.
Let's go.
Ryan.
Come on.
Hold on. Forgive
it
to me.
Let's just go get the...
Do you let go of me?
Let's go.
Let go of me.
Come on.
Jesus.
Let's go.
We just can't let him.
We gotta go get help.
William grabbed my arm and turned me towards home.
Oh, my God.
We slowly headed back to the shore. William took one last look over his shoulder at where we'd just been. On the way back to shore, it started to snow. That was 3 long days ago. The police went out with divers, but never found anything. I never thought they would. The community went into mourning, and the funeral was today. Even drunk, I found it mildly amusing, them burying a body they never found. From what I've heard, William hasn't come out of his house in the last few days. Won't take any calls either. And so here I sit, waiting for the waitress so I can order another drink. I keep seeing Ryan disappearing into the ice over and over again. I don't think this phase will last long because I'm really a terrible alcoholic. But it will hopefully last till I have new thoughts to think and new memories. Anyways, this last call. I manage to flag down the waitress as she passes. She nods at me, knowing exactly what I want.
Yeah, I know. Double rye and coke. No ice.
Ice Screams was written by Drew Hayden Taylor. Peter Kelly Gaudreau was Andrew. Emil Starlight was William. And James Dallas Smith was Ryan. Clifford Cardinal was young Andrew. Michael DeCenzo, young William. Dennis Fuller was young Ryan. And Anik Abonsawan was young Erica. Lawrence Bain and Herbie Barnes were officers Kim and Tom. Gail Maurice was Mags. Jenny Lozon was Ryan's mom. And Michelle St. John was older Erica. The recording engineer was Greg DeClute, with sound effects by Wayne Richards and Matt Wilcott. Casting was by Linda Grierson. The associate producer was Colleen Woods. Original music was by Michael White. Ice Screams was produced and directed by Gregory J. Sinclair.
A new mix for summer
on CBC Radio 1.
Deep night.
There is a boundary that marks the scene from the invisible. A veil separating the well-lit world of the familiar from another place, less easily known. We might try to escape, but try as we may, we are pulled back, only to find ourselves more heavily shackled in the shadows. Eero may look like your typical teenage boy, but everyone in town knows he has a secret. But so does the town he lives in. For what Eero knows, he faces oblivion in the darkness of deep night. Tonight, Bone House by Kendra Fanconi.
When I say something, there it is. The sentence ends and the next one starts. They don't go around in a circle. One goes after another. I lay these sentences end to end, like laying a road. When I talk, I am not talking about anything, but towards something.
There is no good road out of the town where I grew up. The closest town to us is long distance over bad roads along the number one highway. If you ask someone there about us, they'll say they see one of our townsmen when he comes for supplies, but mostly we keep to ourselves. They'll say only good folks live here. There is no story to the contrary they can pass along, so you won't have heard of us before now. Maybe you have driven through the prairies on the number one. By now, you are a long way off. Hopefully, this story is long enough to reach you. If it does, you can pass it on. If everybody tells everybody else, I'll be better off. This story is the secret of this town. The first time I run away, I run right back. I get caught halfway on a barbed wire fence, and two old farmers find me. They lead me home. They stay outside while I eat in the kitchen. I hear them in the yard until I fall asleep. I open my eyes. It's morning. I am in my bed, and the old farmers are gone. The sun is up. Everyone is in the barn. I should hightail it down there. Instead, I go to M's. Now, M is really M. Zena. We still use the old names, though most of them are falling apart by now. M's is one of them. She runs the diner, and I'm in love with her. She is someone in between a grandma and a girlfriend, which means if I were littler, I would crawl up on her lap and put my nose on her neck. And if I were bigger, I'd pull her onto my lap and put my chin on her head. As it is, I eat pancakes and M talks. That way both our mouths are busy. The pancakes are good, but the coffee tastes like slew.
Hey!
Ah!
Watch your mouth.
Why? Doesn't it, M? Good morning, M.
Must be midnight. If it were morning, then you'd be at your chores.
No one woke me for chores.
I'll bring you pancakes.
Last night, I tried to run away.
Well, Eero, it shouldn't be such a thing now. I can tell you, the founders of this town were all runaways.
They were?
Mm-hmm. So my grandfather left the old country first. Landed in Newfoundland, put on his shoes, and walked 1,000 miles.
What stopped him?
Well, his feet got sore. So, he set a while here, with his feet in the creek. He had to soak his shoes to get them off.
I like to imagine a walk like that.
The soil here looks so good, you could sprinkle it on ice cream. He wrote that in a letter to his brother, and the men started coming. Oh, they were ornery cusses, but they hammered themselves together till they stuck. We are the timber and the pegs of this town, so if you pull one of us out, the whole thing crashes down. You're going to say, well, folks die, and yes, they do. We lose some, and that's a blow. It hits us the same way a spring storm shakes a barn. But the barn itself doesn't get up and wander away. This town is here because I pour coffee and you eat pancakes. That's the secret of this town. You and me are holding it together. Eero, you got a job to do.
I took a bite so big my cheeks hurt. It meant I understood. M slid 3 more pancakes on my plate. I had to finish them quick. I had chores. I had school. I had to help in the fields. I had to grow up, grow crops, improve the well, harvest and butcher. I had a new barn to raise. I had my parents to bury and children to sire. I had to raise them right and marry them off. I had to lose my hair and get a hat and become an old farmer. I'm off now, Em.
We'll be seeing ya.
I heard you ran away last night, Hero.
Oh, yes, sir.
How come?
I just had an itch.
Now, if you had a mosquito bite and it itched, would you scratch it?
No, I wouldn't. Doesn't help to scratch an itch. You should slap it.
Ah! There you go, boy. That should cure you.
We have a preacher in town, but we listen to the old farmers. They have seen everything. The Bible, as far as we can tell, happened over in a desert with sand dunes and olive trees. That's far off from us. If there is a question in town, we take it to the old farmers. They take their answers from the land. Everything is flat here. No person is different from any other person. We eat the same and sleep and wake the same. We plant together and harvest together. And the old farmers tell us what to do next. Now I'll tell you about the second time I ran away. It's plowing time. We boys are sent ahead into the furrows to pick out stones. We pitch them over the fence and into the prairie grass. The men are behind with the horses. The tractor is rusting by the barn. So, I am working at it. All the boys are.
There's a little one. There's two. There's three. And there's one. Two, three, four.
Hey, look at him. What are you doing, Hero?
Same as you. Pitching rocks.
Nuh-uh. We are hauling out the biggins. You're just messing with pebbles.
Sure I am.
If you let a small rock in the ground, it's gonna grow like a potato. And then the next year, it would be a rock as big as your head. Pebbles are little rock seeds.
Is that for real?
I figured it out. Makes sense, don't it?
Don't be a cuss.
Ah!
Hey, that hurt.
You're lucky it wasn't a rock.
You dumb cuss.
Hey!
Hey, Hero, where are you going?
Hero, come back.
I dive through the fence and run. The boys aren't far behind me. The men aren't far behind them. The ladies are worrying the railing off the porch. I don't get any further than the buck brush.
Where are you going?
Old Pavo has my arm. The others walk ahead.
You wonder if there's something out there for you. Why shouldn't we let you go find out? Let's think about that. Say you leave. You're gone. Only one. All the other boys are left wondering what you're doing out there while they do your chores. They'll picture you in Saskatoon taken up with movie stars. Yeah. Another will follow you. And the ones who are left now, they do double the work. So they go too. And when the boys are gone, they'll get to the men. We'll lose our men. And what happens to this town with no boys and no men?
But I...
Yeah, well, the crops don't go in the ground, and they don't come out. And the fences will fall, and the cows will wander. And when snow comes, the roof caves, and we are left bare to the sky, us old men. And the good women and the little babes in their arms. That's how this town will die. Is it fair for one boy to wander and kill the whole town? You think about that.
We went back to the fields. That year, you could shoot a rifle down the furrows. They were so straight. That year, instead of golden, the wheat turns brown. The others head home for dinner. I sneak off towards the sick horse stable. Till my sister Una calls me.
Hero!
You can almost hear her from there, can't you?
Hero!
I don't pay her any mind. I keep walking.
Una talks in circles. Her sentences go round and round. Eero, time to get up. Your chores are waiting. And take that swill pail. Eero!
Those cows want milking, then come to supper. Eero!
She is surly on account of the drought and the grasshoppers. These things don't fuss my father. There is a Finnish word for the thing he has. Sisu. Sisu is what keeps you sitting in the sauna. Downright cussedness. He has it. Sitting in the sauna, sausages are curing in the smoke by his head, and he doesn't budge. When I get to the stable door, my father is waiting.
Eero?
Yes, sir.
When you see a sky like that, what does it mean?
I look up. One of the clouds is a horse. Anyone could see that. It is flying in the wind.
A horse.
Now, around here they tell us to learn from the animals. When you see a bush rabbit dozing, it is too hot to be in the fields. If your dog takes a bite out of your neighbor's dog, your two families better eat together that night. Better to eat together than to eat each other. An animal will teach you that.
A horse has got secret wings.
Look at that horse in the sky and tell him what it means.
Maybe I got wings too, I don't know about. But if I knew how to work them, I'd fly too.
He puts his hand on my shoulder so hard my heels sink in the ground.
A cloud like that means rain.
Suddenly I'm in the dirt.
Cover up the hay.
Still in the dirt when he walks off. I roll on my back. The cloud that is a horse turns into a hand and points to me. I am 13 and my brain is growing curly instead of straight. I put my hand down on something in the grass. I sit up. I stand up and I'm running full tilt towards Ems. The diner is almost full up. Shucks. I order myself some pie. In the afternoon, Em serves herself a piece of pie to keep you company. She keeps it at your table and eats a forkful when she's by. A problem needs pie like a crop needs rain.
Blackberry, Eero.
Thanks, Em.
Something wrong?
Not exactly.
What's in your hand?
Fork.
Other one?
Oh, nothing.
Can I see it? Oh, a rock.
Look on the other side, Em. That rock's got a seashell pressed right in it.
Oh.
See?
My, must be a fossil.
That is a rock from a hayfield caught thinking about the ocean. Oh. I am not the only one who wants to get out of here.
Shh. Shoot, I didn't mean... Eero, I am going to tell you something now, and you are going to listen, so shut your yap and open your ears.
Okay.
I'm going to tell you about a rabbit. Now, a rabbit is a living thing, because it's either real good at hiding or real good at running. You better be good at one or the other, Eero. Hiding or running.
That is my last bite of pie. I go to hide that rock in the sick horse stable. I have a collection hidden in the straw. See, we got stone fruit around here. Nothing unusual there. Anyone I know can eyeball a low branch of cherries and predict the size of the pie. The first cherry I ate this year had a triple pit in it, stuck together like a snowman. I got another pebble, winks at you like an eyeball. And when M had a gallstone removed, well, the doctor didn't want it. Then there's a chunk of shale in the shape of the state of Texas. My brother had it in his hand and was going to chuck it. Did you know that if you took the state of Texas and flipped it up, the tip of it would nearly touch our town? I caught that rock midair, and my hand stung till supper. I lay them all out. It isn't enough to look at them. I want to sit on them like a hen. I don't tell anyone about my collection. Of course, everyone finds out.
What's that you got?
I show him. Old Seppo puts each rock in his palm and closes his fingers. This man has been a dairyman all his life, so he can't hardly know a thing without milking it a little.
What do you think?
You think they're all special. But what matters, boy, is that they're all stones.
Old Seppo pours them into my hands.
Come with me.
We walk out to the edge of the field.
The stones don't belong in a horse stable. Throw them in the coulee. Now get home where you belong.
Instead, I wait in the grass till sundown. The third time I run because the horizon is the only thing left alive. Maybe they were watching me from their windows. I reach the buffalo rubbing stone. It's a decent place to catch my breath. I'm crouching, watching. The old farmers are coming for me. They give me a whooping. If you hold your hind tight, you don't much feel it. Old Pavo helps me walk back to his hen house. We watch his chicks scrabbling in the dirt.
You see them chickens?
Yes, sir.
A chicken you can cook up before it's born or after it's dead. Useful creature. Some things can be real useful dead. But everything is useful.
Dead folk here are treated nice. The town is careful about making sure that dead is dead. At a funeral, they always tie a thread around one finger of a dead man. If it swells up, he's alive after all. And you put him back in bed instead of in the ground. If they do put a body in the ground, it is a big deal and a good time. The graveyard is in the center of town, and it's so crowded that in order for a body to go in the ground, one's got to come out. We take the one who has been under the longest, so there's a good chance the meat's off the bone. The skull we take off and put up in the rafters of the church. If you look up to heaven, that's what you see. Then the bones go in the bone house. Following the drought, we had a summer so wet the seed molded instead of sprouting. Then that winter, the snow was so deep you could step over the power lines. So we lost some cows. The next year was pretty much the same, except worse even, because the silos were empty. Now it's harvest, and already there is food rationing and arguments about it. By now, I am almost 16. My thoughts are sunk inside me. I am only hands and feet. I might have stayed that way if it weren't for the Rat King. I am done with my chores. With fewer cows, it doesn't take long. I'm walking back by the tack room. I want you to see it now, like I saw it then. These rats had been running about, scrabbling for food, and they got themselves in a tangle. Imagine a pack of rats with their tails in a knot in the center, And they were trying to run, but tied together, they couldn't get anywhere. And it didn't take long till they collapsed from the effort. It happens. It does happen. Often enough that someone can remember that they heard it happened once, before they were born. Someone remembered that it's called a rat king. Yes, every rat was dead. The rats had become their own trap. I wanted to tell someone. The kitchen ladies are waiting for the carrots to cool so they can finish cooking for Chicken Tuesday. They are sitting on the back stoop of the hall, thumbing their calluses. I hold up the Rat King, and their eyes darken. When I leave with it, they follow me into town. On the way, I hear that sound. I was thinking Una might faint from seeing the Rat King. But she wipes her hands. I am walking to the center of town with my family behind me and the kitchen ladies behind them, and in front of me, I have the Rat King. With everyone watching, I lay the Rat King down. There wasn't anywhere else to put it. It belongs at the center of everything, the way a belly button does. The boys and the girls and the ladies and the men and the old farmers draw in around the tangle of rats. No one speaks. You can tell the temperature by how many times a cricket chirps in a minute. It is getting hotter.
You see those rats? You want us to die like that?
I pick up the Rat King. And I put it on my head. It was time. It was the sign. They had to let me go. I am sure you cannot guess what happened then. Old Pavo gives the Rat King to his barn cats, and it is gone by morning. I go to Em's.
I'd like some pie.
Out of pie.
You can't be.
You best be going now.
I'll have a coffee.
Out of coffee.
We'll make some.
Iro, there is nothing I can do.
That is the fourth time I run away. The fourth time I would run low and hide myself in the grass. Like a rabbit. Hiding. Or running. Or both. The fourth time they take away my shoes. They beat the bottoms of my feet. If I couldn't walk, how could I run? The fifth time I run barefoot alongside the cows going to night pasture. Through the frozen thistles I run. They find me at dawn, standing in a fresh cow pie to keep my toes from freezing. That was the fifth time. Now, five is a number you can handle. Five you can count on your hand. Six is something else. The sixth time they put me here. In the bone house. The bone house is a small stone house with a heavy door. It takes three men to push that door open. Inside, all the bones are piled up together. All the bones except the skulls, you see, which are up in the rafters of the church, like I said before. They said they would be back by noon. Well, for that long, I could sit sideways on a picket fence. With it so dark in here, it could have been an hour that's passed, or 3 days. It could have been 40 years. It has been a long time since they went away. I went through being scared
and then bored, and then plain mad. Then curious about being with all the dead folk. I couldn't help feeling friendly with them. Stuck in here. Just like me. But not like me. I never heard of this town having one like me. I really thought about that. Nature makes a handful of funny stones. How come I am the only strange one in this town? Then too, I got bored with thinking and wished they would come. I yelled the worst word I knew. And I felt good. Then after that, I felt terrible. Which pretty much brings me to now. 'Cause a minute ago, I put my hand on something. Not a bone like all the other bones here. A skull. What do you make of that? Weren't you listening? I told you, skulls go up in the rafters of the church. Now, isn't that curious that one would be in the bone house? If there had been a skull was missing from the rafters of the church, why, there would be a story about it. That is something to talk about. And there is no story. What do you make of that? Do you think this skull was accidentally, like, tossed in? Do you think people in this town do things accidentally? Or do you think... They never came, did they? I am the secret of this town. I gotta keep talking. When I say something, there it is. The sentence ends and the next one starts. They don't go around in a circle. One goes after another. I lay these sentences end to end, like laying a road. So when I talk, I am not talking about anything, but towards something. I will talk my way out of here. I will talk through the cracks. I will talk over the fields and between the barbed wire. I will weave through the prairie grass and talk into the sunrise. I will talk until I get somewhere.
Bonehouse was written by Kendra Fanconi. David Baisley played Eero. Nicola Cavendish was Emcina. Frank C. Turner was Perti. Alex Diakon played Pavo, and Eric Schneider was Seppo. Mara Coward was Una, and Tom Macbeth played the father, with Christopher Murray and Ryan Beale as the boys. The script editor was Beverly Cooper. Bonehouse was produced in Vancouver by Heather Brown. The next voices heard in deep night. Which is worse, an uninvited guest who outstays their welcome, or someone, something, we invite across the threshold and then refuses to leave? And even worse, what if Mom finds out the guest from beyond the veil has moved into the bedroom closet?
Go away, Brittany. I'm busy plotting my revenge. I only have an hour.
It's time to reveal the means by which I will get Kalzakian. The Necronomicon! Literally, a book of dead names. A nasty little grimoire whose sole purpose is the summoning of supernatural forces. I'm amazed that such an unspeakable tome of evil is available on Amazon.com, 1998, shipping not included. One can only conclude that the World Wide Web is a force for evil. Back when my father was alive, he used to read me H.P. Lovecraft at bedtime. He was a bit of a sicko, but I remember those stories well. At night, under the covers, shivering in fear at the names of Cthulhu, Yog-Sothoth, and the many tentacled Mogloth Kaglonitron. Their nightmare pseudopods rose up from the inky pool of my subconscious, oozing suckers pulling me down, down, down into the murky obsidian depths of crazy evil badness, until finally they became real to me. They are real. And, with the help of the Necronomicon, they are now mine to command. I wanted my supernatural revenge on Mr. Kalzakian for humiliating me. So, it was time to summon up a demon lord to eat his soul.
The thing from beyond my closet takes up residence in the deep night next week.
A New Mix for Summer
on CBC Radio 1.